Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Glenn Healy from the NHL Alumni Association. Never shortage of opinions when you talk to Heels, a former player, and very great personality, broadcaster coming up. But I'm still in shock, John Shannon, 100% hockey, at what happened in the Eastern Conference Final in the opening two games. I'm blown away at how lopsided it was.
Well, it's men and boys right now. Yeah. It's shocking, really.
So is that the difference between the Atlantic Division and the Metropolitan Division?
No.
Is that really what we're looking at?
No, it's the difference between the Florida Panthers and everyone.
So Toronto was really close.
In theory. Not when you look at 6-1 in Game 5 and 6-1 in Game 7.
Okay.
You know, remember, this was a team in Toronto that won the first two games and then couldn't win another two games.
But Carolina isn't even in the same ice.
Well, and the problem with Carolina and all the years that I played in the league, that's where you're supposed to laugh. The Carolina is trying to play Florida Panther hockey, and they're making a mistake. They have to play Carolina Hurricane hockey. They're trying to be aggressive. They're trying to be chippy. It does not work against the Florida Panthers. Carolina has a great work ethic. Carolina has talent. They have to play the game their way. Do not try to play the way the Florida Panthers play. It's a huge mistake. A huge mistake. And they've been bitten badly. You know, it defies logic to me. It really does.
You never got a break. That's why you didn't play in the league. You're just missing that one person to give you a shot.
And the fact I can't skate. I think that's a problem, too.
I know, but that one person could open the door for you. Heels is there already, so let's go.
Are you surprised Brendan Shanahan's gone or no?
No.
Okay.
His contract was up, and there's a new president of the organization, the overall organization, and there's a lot of moving parts there. So, it's actually an easy decision.
Or is he a sacrificial lamb for people who wanted somebody to pay the price for
an easy decision
for the last 10 years? Okay. All right. Well, Glenn will have an opinion.
I support, not support it. That sounds vicious. I agree with the decision. Let's just say that. But you're about to get a lot smarter.
That is vicious. That is vicious.
I'm going to bring up with Heels your idea that they have to trade Austin Matthews. I can't wait to hear his reaction to that. Glenn Healy's coming up from the NHL Alumni Association on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Okay, let's slide inside the city of Toronto and join the executive director of the NHL Alumni Association. Here's Glenn Healy. I honestly have no idea where this is going to go today.
We never do with Healy.
No, we never do.
That's why John got me fired at Hockey Night Canada, and then subsequently got me fired at Sportsnet. And you know, but I'm not bitter.
Last I checked, I got you hired at Hockey Night in Canada, and I got you hired at Leafs TV. So I
see how far it would be to throw you out the window. No, I wouldn't do it. It would hurt.
Yeah,
keep in that same studio.
So there tons of talk around the Toronto Maple Leafs, a team that you played for, Glenn. Brendan Shanahan now is no longer with the organization. And people are pointing fingers. People are pointing fingers at the media. People are pointing fingers at the pressure of the fans. Where do you point fingers?
Well, I can only look at my own experiences of playing in all my stops for big cities. I started in Los Angeles, and maybe that wasn't exactly a big city because I was wearing yellow pants and a yellow helmet and dancing around town, and no one knew who we were. But man, we could beat people up. We had more toughness than anyone. And then the Islanders, big team, big city, big stage. They came off a dynasty. We rebuilt that group. The Rangers, 54 years of never winning, big stage, Madison Square Garden, probably the most famous arena in the world. Lots of pressure from that fan group. And then my last stop in Toronto. So do I think there's more pressure in Toronto than in any of these other cities? No. I actually enjoyed the pressure because, to me, hockey mattered. The players mattered. We joked about it every year with Hockey Night. The fourth line for Toronto would come in, and I was part of that fourth line. I was the extra goalie, and all of a sudden, I was in the mention of Vezina. Well, maybe I'm pushing it now. But, you know, you're revered. This fan base loves everything about the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that building that is full every night, not because they wanted to buy a ticket to watch me, but because they bought a ticket to watch players that are on my walls. The Johnny Bowers, the John Beliveaus, the Richards, Ted Lindsay's, the Gordie Howes. That's the group that built this franchise and built the culture that made it so this is arguably one of the best cities to play in. But I do understand the finger pointing. You never want to blame yourself and say we didn't have enough leadership, or we didn't get game 7 goaltending, or we didn't do any of the things that would bring us a championship. It's got to be something else. It's got to be something in the water. Well, that was a show up in Halliburton. It's got to be something else. But you have to look at yourself and say, we have the series. Series was won. But I've played in many series that I thought we had in the bag and left in the bag the next day because we weren't playing again following that the Game 7 loss or Game 6 loss. Lots to go around, but at the end of the day, the team wasn't good enough, wasn't built well enough for a Stanley Cup run against teams that are built in that 2-month war that they call the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's no disrespect to the talent level, skill level, the way they played through the course of the season. But they lost momentum in that series and never got it back.
So they're very talented and have been for this window, arguably top teams in the National Hockey League. What do you think is missing right now?
Well, you have to start with leadership. Like, to me, it all starts and stops and ends with your group at the top. If you are talented, they have to be the ones that, a lot of what happens with the Leafs, if you want to scatter the sheep, you go after the shepherd. Pretty clear. You know, there's a couple of guys you keep on the schneid, you keep off the scoreboard, you keep out of that. You know, for some of them, even in game 7, you would have to look to see if they played. They didn't hear their names. And that doesn't happen with teams that are going to move on to the next round. Those guys are front and center. I mean, maybe you didn't hear Tkachuk's name like you normally would, but a lot of that's got to do with he's playing with one leg. Pretty tough to play in the NHL in round 3 when you have one leg. He's managing and finding a way to do it. And I think that's, you needed more of that. But the players spoke to themselves. They said, we had too many passengers.
That was Austin Matthews that said that.
Yeah.
So when you read that quote and saw that quote, because I've had 3 or 4 guys, former players, tell me, can you believe he said that? I mean, that's unheard of.
Why? You know, at the end of the day, yes, everyone's bitter. You're up 2-0. Behind me was the parade route. I had my kilt on. I was ready. Pipes were going, ready to go. We got a parade. And you're up 3-1 in that subsequent game. Florida, for all intents and purposes, they didn't have a goaltender who was inspired. Maybe it's too long in the tooth. Maybe we played enough hockey. Maybe last year's cup was enough. You gave them every reason through 120 minutes to go away. And you gave them every reason in 140 minutes to go away. You just didn't find a way to get them, you know, down on the mat and tapped out. And comments like that, they don't go well in the locker room, because it is very much, and we've said this many times, you know, when you point the finger at somebody, there's three coming back at you. So people are going to look at your performance and say, was it warranted? Is it that necessary to let, you know, great media people like Darren Millard and John Shannon know that there's passengers? We couldn't figure that out on our own. Probably not that important to let the people know that inside that room, there were too many guys that were watching and not performing. So I don't think there's any room for it. I don't think it was the right thing to say. And in a lot of ways, maybe it was blown out of proportion. Maybe it was a comment made at the end of a scrum. I certainly don't follow it like I did before John Shannon fired me. But I follow it enough just to make sure that, you know, we're in tune with what goes on in the city. And the city went from electric, full of life, thousands of people on the street. It couldn't be quieter on the streets of Toronto. And you put bad weather into it, unlike the weather in Vegas, and boy, you got a catastrophe here. But disappointing finish, probably would have kept the worst to myself. But, you know, now what is next for this Maple Leaf team? They're going to take a step back before they take a step forward. There are a number of players that aren't going to be here next year. Pretty simple. You know, you're not probably going to have a Tavares. You're probably not going to have a Mitch Marner. And that's the nature of this game. You lose half your team every year. And when you don't perform, there's really no impetus to keep the entire team together. More than likely, you're looking for answers that you haven't had over the past 11 years.
Just want to pick up on the passenger line. Go ahead. For the passenger situation, would you say something if you were in that room? No, you just let it go?
I would. Everything in the locker room stays in the locker room. You know, there are players in that locker room that were probably hurt. There were players in that locker room that might have been scared. There were.
So you wouldn't go up to Austin and say, "Hey, what's with that?"
Just stays where it is. You know, really, there's 23 guys and the coaching staff that fought a good fight for a couple weeks. We thought they had that fight won. They didn't. There's no gain to it. It's not like you've made a proclamation that, wow, I didn't realize and now I know why they didn't win. There's no gain other than pain. And that pain is probably felt in that locker room, because if I'm thinking and sitting in that, I'm wondering, is he talking about me? Am I the guy that he's speaking about as the passenger? And that to me is, there's no gain to it. There's no end gain to this other than we lost. We arguably put one of the worst performances on home ice in game 7 ever in the history of the National Hockey League. That doesn't happen often. I think it was John's first year of broadcasting, 1917, the league first came on board. So it's been a long time.
Quebec Bulldogs were great that year.
That's right. So I just didn't see, Darren, I don't see any gain to it. I just, you know, there's lots of games that we played when I was with a number of different teams. And, you know, a lot of it, the fingers could be pointed at me for poor goaltending. And did I really want to wake up in the morning and, you know, read after an Oilers game that Glenn, it probably wasn't wise to give up 7 goals in the first period and think we were going to win. You know, I can recall a playoff game that I took part in, the glass against Edmonton, the glass broke behind the net and the referee came back to the bench and said, and we were losing by touchdown. So let's be clear, they had already started the jet. The problem was it was a commercial jet, but they already started the jet and they came back to the bench and Pat Quinn said, would it be okay to keep the clock running while you fix the glass? Okay. I really didn't want to wake up that next morning and have somebody say, you know, Glenn Healy is first star at dodgeball. Wow. He's unbelievable at dodgeball. First star. I didn't want to read that, even though I knew it. But it just, you know, you win together, you lose together. And what happens in the locker room should stay there. That's the sanctity of what should exist in my business here with the alumni and with every team that's competing for that beautiful trophy.
So long before You know, Mitch Marner isn't here, or John Tavares isn't here, as you talked about. Brendan Shanahan isn't here. Is it fair that he's not here? Is he the sacrificial lamb?
Well, he did make some great changes to this group. They were regular season, you know, top of the list in every way. They were built, and Darren, you said it, they're a talented hockey team. They're a team that when you played against, you were typically on your heels and not on your toes with them. You know, they didn't take much of a break to hurt you. And if you look at the games against Florida, you know, the Max Domi goal that solidified one of the games, it doesn't, you just turn your head for a second the wrong way, and they were burning you. They had good regular season teams. They were built with a different culture than that they had with John Ferguson Jr. when there was an exile of players, the Muskoka Five. You know, they wanted Matt Sundin gone when the club was literally 5 points away from the playoff spot, and you asked your captain to jump off the ship so you could trade him. Like, those days were over when Brendan got here. You know, everything was about building a culture of winning. And for the most part, you know, that culture was there, other than the execution of the 23 guys and that leadership of the 23 guys when push came to shove in any game that mattered, when you could push someone off the cliff. And so at some point, yes, you can say there always going to be sacrifices. I mean, you know, I think what Pete DeBoer has been 6 of the past 7 years in the Western Final, and he's been fired like 3-4 times. Like, how is that possible? That's the nature of our game, which is a result-oriented business. But he did so many good things, I think, for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the culture and building this and the scouting staff and all the areas we don't see, all the areas that maybe were vacant under a John Ferguson Jr. regime. He helped to build it. He helped to be part of what is a pretty good organization here in Toronto that was built up from a lot of nothing in a lot of ways. But, you know, unfortunately, he has to hang his hat on the results of the players and what the players can and can't do, and saves that were to be made and weren't made, and goals that were to be scored, and power plays in overtime. 4-minute power plays in OT with your best $65 million on the ice, and you don't score and you lose the game in OT. All those moments you can look back on. As a player, I always looked at myself and said, I should have done more, could have done more, had to do more. And my time in Toronto, I didn't think I did enough. We were close, but not good enough. Mission was not accomplished. And as a result, there was a time when you kicked my skinny ass, well, maybe fatter than that, but out the door, and I deserved it. I didn't get the job done in my job, my role. And so that's the nature of a compete business where winning matters.
So they're better now than they were before Brendan, right?
Yes, for sure. Okay. Every element of their team, from the way they scout, their management, they've hired so many people to support the players. You know, they had a captaincy change in the offseason. Did anything get made of that captaincy change other than the first press conference and the questions were asked? They were answered directly by Tavares, answered directly by Austin Matthews. The story went away. This would have been a story for months if the players didn't have the right people behind the scenes telling them this is the message that has to be coached, or the right people behind the scenes drafting the right players, making sure the right people are in place, finding the right free agencies. Every part of this team was better than last year. Their defense was better. Their grit was better. Like, no one can deny the team was better this year than the year before, or the year before when they played against the Montreal Canadiens, when it was the bubble and you had, you know, John Shannon and Glenn Healy, the only two people in the building. Like, they've improved all the way along.
So was it time then?
There comes a point you have to take that next step. And that's what didn't happen. That next step didn't happen, and the fans feel cheated because it should have happened. And this should have been the year, particularly with the first two games and a period. This should have been wiped and locked and loaded, and the will to win for Florida should have been put to bed, and it wasn't.
I would argue that, and Glenn, you were around too, and so was I, that what Brendan did away from hockey operations, because I think there's a real delineation, away from hockey operations, this was the most stable the Maple Leafs had been since Pat Quinn.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, and you know, you had presence around the locker room, you know.
Right.
And again, no disrespect to some of the people who were here before, but you know, you kind of walk in the building and it's like, wow, that's not that. The one thing about Pat Quinn, when he walked into a locker room, presence. When Al Arbor walked into a locker room, there was presence. You know, you can't deny what Brendan and his group, they've done as players. My gosh, they've done nothing but win and put themselves in the Hall of Fame. So the presence was back. The swagger was back. The organization mm-hmm. felt good about themselves. And I can tell you, every team that walks through gate two or comes down the ramp and goes to play the Maple Leafs, they're not thinking it's points night. It's time for us to just wrap this up in 20 minutes and start thinking about what nice restaurant we're going to go to in Toronto. That's not the case. And I can tell you, their teams, you know, the Ottawa Senators first came in the league. I mean, we had a game, we beat them so poorly and badly, you know, the team or a good chunk of us skated back on the canal from the game, having a couple libations. And I can still remember the people on the canal, like, that's the New York Rangers. Yeah, that's us. Yeah, we just dusted off an Ottawa team that probably wasn't an NHL team. That was not the case with this Leaf team. When they came to play other NHL teams, the respect other NHL teams had for them, including Florida, it was, you better be ready. And if you give them a little bit of room, they're going to hurt you because they have that ability offensively to destroy you.
Here's where I have trouble with the balance, because I agree with the change that the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment have made. I thought it was and believe it's time for a switch at some point in the organization. It's not going to be the only place. But yet, and a lot of the fans agree too, yet we sit here and we run down the list of great things that Brendan Shanahan did. Like there's right. a paradox there.
Yeah. Someone has to be on the block. Like there's no doubt you can't finish the season the way it finished this year and say, we're good, stand down, stand pat. That cannot happen. And maybe it's the way they lost. You know, if they played a Florida team and everyone thought, oh my gosh, Stanley Cup champs, you know, they're not going to give up the ghost. The Islanders, when I got there, I'm looking at their group, we were rebuilding. They'd won 19 straight playoff rounds. Rounds, not wins. Rounds. And they dusted teams off like they were nothing. You know, Edmonton Oilers come in, the new kids on the block. Before, they were the new kids on the block. Four straight, not even a win. You know, they needed Kevin McClellan to score. They didn't need even Egress. Like, my gosh. when they finally turned the worm and Edmonton took over. But the Islanders, that's 19 straight. But at some point, someone had to pay the price there as well. And for Toronto, the way they lost, being up 2-0, being up 3-1, having an overtime ability with a four-man advantage, and having your best players on the ice, all of those things, it hurts more. You know, like winning the lottery and losing the ticket. You're kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could go down the list of so many different areas where I could see why the fans, they believed it, they bought in in a big way. And you've been to a game, you buy in a big way. Someone had to be a guy he's the guy that we've got to make a change with. And there'll be subsequent changes. Whoever comes into that role, it's a new coach, new approach, new team. And I say coach, it's not the coach. Coach meaning the leader, whoever the president mm-hmm. may be. And there'll be changes that are made, and it'll go down the line, and it'll be the Maple Leafs version of Doge. They will make the changes and efficiencies they have to make, and the new guy coming in will, or girl, whoever they decide is going to be that person in charge, will be a person to put his or her stamp on this organization and change it their way for a new culture, a new change, because not winning is just not good enough.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with Glenn Healy from the NHL Alumni Association. He's got a couple of opinions that we still got to get to on Millard and Shannon with 100% Hockey. Our younger audience won't get this, but talking to Glenn is like watching a pop-up video back in the day. You're watching the video, but then there's all this extra information aside. So you sprinkle in stuff all the time, like 1917, skating on the canal, along with your answers. It's brilliant. It's one of my favorite things about you, how you can manage to do that and not get sidetracked.
It's about pop culture. That's what Glenn's a fan of pop culture, right, Glenn?
Yeah, that's I certainly would have had Justin Bieber behind the bench wearing his bathrobe in Game 7. Just letting you know, okay? Like, did you bring that thing from the Ritz? You know, what? You know, I want to be incognito of a big rock star. Everybody knows me in this city. I'm going to dress up like a pylon and sit right behind the bench? Anyways, yeah, sometimes I need a space key between my brain and my tongue. Sometimes I need a delete key. Either way, this is what you got. So thanks for allowing me on the show, and I'll never be back again.
A little different behind the bench in Dallas than in Toronto. I'm just going to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was the one game in Montreal. We were playing in the playoffs, and we actually fell behind 2-0 in that series against Montreal. And we ended up beating them.
Was that the one where Kovalev dived?
No. Kovalev was later.
Quebec. That was against Quebec.
Yeah, we were with the Rangers. And so anyways, I'm sitting on the bench, and you really weren't allowed to be on the bench in Montreal, the Bell Center, because there wasn't much room. So you kind of sit across the way. But, I'm destined to, I'm part of this team. I'm going to be a leader on the team. I'm going to sit on the bench, even though I'm like, you know, we got Esatikin in and. And maybe Esso looked like he was pregnant, but that's okay. There's room for all of our bellies on the bench. So I'm sitting there, and right beside me are two female girls from Supersex. And they're not wearing anything. Like, I mean, at least Justin was wearing a bathrobe. I ain't wearing nothing. And I'm looking across, and again, the cruelness of John Shannon, he put a camera from Hockey Night in Canada there, and it's on me the whole time waiting for this.
That's and, the glance know, Brian, over, by the way.
Come back and say, Heels, whatever you do, do not look to your right. They'll catch you. They'll catch you. It'll be on. So, yes, many different times when straight ahead, boys, charge ahead. But certainly wasn't looking back to the guy in the bathroom. But although I do love his music. And if you'd like to play a free concert for the alumni, here's my card. I'll throw it your way. Pass it on. Thank you, Justin.
So you're a proponent of big change in Toronto then, player-wise?
Well, I don't think there's – look, at you for a guy like Mitch who's gone this route, you know, and I'm sure talks were back and forth with contract through the course of the year, and he's a good kid. He's very talented, you know. And again, like his life is evolving. He's come here as a draft pick that, oh, my gosh, you think about his journey. They drafted him. Well, how dare they draft him? It's too small. They should have had – you know, the defenseman out of who played for Carolina. He was the guy they wanted picked because he was a big, tough defenseman. We get Mitch. He comes on board and arguably one of the most skilled guys we got on the team. He creates something out of nothing, gets married, change in his life, has a baby that happened this year, a big change in his life. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it was funny when Ray Ferraro went to the Rangers and they traded him. And they said he was too small. And Ray's quote was, well, what did they think I was going to grow when I got here? Like, you signed me. I am what I am. Yeah. So Mitch was what he was, but he took the risk. Start of the year, he could have blown a knee out. He could be done for the rest of his career. Assumed the risk, played the year. Very successful year personally. Not as a team. Again, he's only one at 23. But now... unless he's diving off the dock in Muskoka and there's rocks all around, this guy, he's paid his dues and will get paid. And all right. It's going to take is for another team to get to the table and say, we want to give you more money. And then the Leafs are going to be in the situation where, are we going to be able to match that contract? Is that where we want to put our dollars? Are we going to paint ourselves back in the place where
if they're even allowed to, even if Mitch allows them to match.
Exactly. You know, he's in control now. He's making the decisions. Tavares, you know, again, maligned, captaincy taken off him. Think about what it's like as a player. And you go through that, a difficult thing because he's very a proud guy. So has a great year. are you going to throw money at John Tavares, or do you take a 19-year-old and give him that chance to play 4 or 5 years? So in 5 years, he is John Tavares from the Islanders way back when he was signed by Toronto. Right. So these are decisions, yes, the organization makes, but as you get closer to this date, the player gets the bigger decision as a UFA, and they can decide where they want to go, where they want to play. And if, like we talked about at the start, if the city's got too much pressure, if the fans expect too much, if, oh my gosh, the media, if Mike Zeisberger is so hard on me that I can't, oh, I've never been harder on myself. Zeis, please relent, Zeis. If that's the case, they can go somewhere else. And that'll be their choice. And that will go across the board with all the players as they rebuild this team and find what was missing that Florida had last year to win the Cup and Florida had this year to win this series. And what Florida particularly has now to be up in the next series, they need to find those answers. And there can be lots of areas. It could be a net, it could be up front, it could be leadership, be all of that. And maybe there wasn't too many passengers, but they will make the appropriate changes because what we saw was not good enough.
Okay, so to be the devil's advocate, Mitch Marner is a great regular season player. But when the playoffs start, and you know this, the level of intensity, the level of physicality, I hate that word, but the level of physicality
truculence
changes.
I learned that from someone here one time.
Yeah, well, I can't even spell it. Is he an effective playoff player? And is that a fair question? And will that be a consideration for anybody that looks at him to play for their team?
Well, like, it's a good question. I think historically you've got to look down the list of players that, you know, when playoffs came, you know, I hate to say it's one guy that's got to make the difference. You know, we just did a thing with Yvonne Cornway about winning the Stanley Cup. As we get close to the Stanley Cup playoffs here, we went back in the archives for all the players that had won it, and we asked them, you know, what it's like to win it. And Cornway talks about, you know, when he first came on board, and there he was playing on a team, and he named the guys, you know, Richard, Backstrom, Beliveau, Harvey, sure. And I'm just like, okay, they're all in the Hall of Fame. He goes, and then, you know, it was time for the old guys to step away and the new young guys step in. Savard, Robinson, like Gainey, like, okay, there's your next group of Hall of Famers. Now, Yvonne Cornway, 10 Stanley Cups. He loves coming to Toronto because when he puts them on each finger and he puts them by his ears, he can't hear anybody complain about the Canadians. He jokes about that. But now he was on a team with incredible greatness, with a great coach. And man, what an incredibly storied career. But great support, great people around him. People around him to allow him to win. In New York, many years of great teams, great teams, right from the 60s to 70s to 80s. It took a Mark Messier to come in and galvanize that group. And realistically, the team was built with a lot of guys that won the Cup. Johnny, when you started working with the Oilers, it's all yeah. those guys, right? You're yeah. Adam Graves, you're Glenn Anderson's, Esa Tiikanen's, Craig McTavish, Jeff Bookaboom. Like that group was the one that said, boys, we've done it before. We got this. Just follow me. So Yzerman, you know, they were running him out of Detroit.
Now, were they 14 years. Detroit? Took because him 14 years to win.
Yeah, exactly. So was he a great player? Yes. So potentially a guy like Mitch, I look at what he can do on the ice, how he can create. You know, he's not going to be your big power forward like Kevin Stevens, or he's not going to be a big power forward like a Tkachuk, but he is going to bring a skill set that is unique, that a club will want, a club will pay for, and if you surround him with the right people, he then maybe becomes what a Brad Marchand was. And look, you only have to go back to when Brad Marchand started in Boston. And he walked into Claude Julien's office and he said, Claude, I'm going to play for your team and score 20 goals. And Claude looked at him and said, and he only had one goal the year before. You're getting 20 goals. Are you playing in the minors to get these goals? And sure enough, he stepped up and he had 20 goals and became the player that he is today, the leader that he is. a player that everyone covets, everybody hates, everyone loves if he's on your team. So again, the progression of an athlete, like I don't know when it will you emerge, but you certainly need some help from your friends. And those, the help from your friends leads you to putting that name on the Stanley Cup. That's what Florida has in spades. That's why everyone wants to emulate Florida. Once they kind of came on board with a couple other teams, everyone went away from that kind of soft, fast, quick style. You had to be big and heavy, particularly with your defense. Now all the teams are copying that style. All of that put together, you need to have some help from your group to make it and to win. And it's not all on him. And he's taken a good chunk of it and has from the start when they wanted him gone, the fan base particularly wanted him gone in the summer. He was in a no-win situation other than to raise the trophy.
What and how would you characterize what's ahead? Is it a re-something, retool, rebuild?
Well, you can't, you know, those terms, you just throw those out, right? And in a club where an average ticket price is in the hundreds of dollars, it is hard to tell your fan base, stand down, we're going to strip it to the bone, and we're going to rebuild. That is hard to do here. It is hard to do in most areas. And I would argue that, you know, there were probably games in the first round against Ottawa. There probably weren't bums in the seats. That's a concern because fans weren't going to pay the price to come watch a first round series against Ottawa. That's a reality. There are teams that are freezing ticket prices because the economy, the way things have worked, it is pretty hard to take hard-earned dollars and to spend them to go to games. So it's hard to tell this fan base we're rebuilding. And how do you rebuild? There's only one way. It's at the podium. Seven times right. You show up and say, hello, everybody. Here we are in Los Angeles, and we select. Now, unfortunately, you see a small window. You chase that window. You try to win the Stanley Cup. You give up assets to win the Stanley Cup, whether it's signing certain players you got it at the deadline and giving up your top prospects to get them, giving up top draft picks that potentially would be prospects to get those players to make the long run to win the Stanley Cup. That's the boat they're in today. How do they get out of that boat and rebuild and retool? If you can find me a bunch of great free agents you can spend money on, if you even have the money, even though the cap goes up, who are they? They're not sitting there waiting for you to go, I got a goalie now. I'm just going to go sign him. Yeah. The Curtis Joseph beating at the Muskoka convenience station, gas station, that don't happen anymore. And
all for an ice cream cone.
If you want to rebuild your scouting staff and say, our scouts aren't good enough, we're going to rebuild our scouts. We'll get
so
the
what
best
is it?
Scouts.
What are we looking at?
Hold on.
Teams have already locked in their scouting staff. So what, I'm going to go get what? Minnesota scouts? I'm going to go get Seattle scouts? They've already locked them up because they know I don't want anyone stealing them. Even Pittsburgh locked their scouts up because they, again, so if I do get a scout that I really want, and he's your Christopher Rockstrom from the New York Rangers, who, you know, went and got a whole bunch of players and did a great job in Detroit, I'm going to have to wait 4 years to get them. And then what? Got to wait three more before we can get to the podium and get a player? So stand down, fans. Talk to me in 7 years, and it will be okay then. That's not going to happen here or in a lot of cities in the National Hockey League.
It's also not going to happen when there's a change in ownership and there's an expectation corporately that there are playoff games.
And we forgot that one.
Yeah. On multiple levels, not just ownership of the hockey club, but ownership of the national rights on the television side, where, you know, Rogers can generate even more revenue from this hockey club. Because let's face it, the Maple Leafs are the driver nationally. People outside of Southern Ontario don't want to hear it, but it's true. The Maple Leafs are the driver of ratings on television in Canada. But let me ask you this. So you played on a team.
That's a good point, Johnny, that as a player, when I played, I never thought of, right? I just like, hey, we're going to play left skate on first. Darren, do the same thing, right? Right pad, left pad, right pad, dress the same way. Look at the clock, 6:02, time to have a piece of gum, 6:04, fix this, like full of superstition. I couldn't have given a rat's ass who owned the Toronto Maple Leafs. Couldn't have cared less. But I tell you what, on the economic side, thinking about the past 11 years and the opportunity cost of lost revenue from around three, and what rink boards are being sold for in round three, what the digital ads are being sold for in round three. We haven't even got to round four yet. Okay, when we get there, then it's off. I can't even imagine what a seat would be here. All of that over 11 years, I mean, that's where ownership goes. That money with the B on it has been left on the table. And then when I look at the rink today, and there should have been a game tonight, and that rink is black, well, Springsteen's not all of a sudden saying, I'm no longer a prune like Mr. Trump thinks I am. I'm going to come to Toronto and put a concert on. Like the rink, they block these dates out. You don't get dates. Now, maybe Bieber will play in his bathrobe for free. Maybe. John, you have his number called.
No, by the way, he doesn't do anything for free. He doesn't do anything for free, just for the record.
Now, there goes my high hopes.
So,
we never thought of that.
No, I know. And like, in so many ways, the team that you played for, that Matt Sundin was the captain of, that Joe Nieuwendyk and Gary Roberts were big parts of, that the Muskoka Five were part of, they did the same thing. They could not get to the next level. They did get to a conference final. Actually, they got to two in many ways, 1999, 2002. But they failed too. And at some point, you had to say to Matt Sundin, we're not going to win with you. And that, to me, that really is the hard, callous challenge that Brad Treliving and Keith Pelley and these people have now to be able to say, we've given you 7 or 8 years to win, and you haven't won a bloody thing. So you do need to do a bit of a reset, Glenn. You do.
Yeah, and I just, okay, there's no doubt that they will. And you're right. I look at the years you talked about. I mean, we played a Buffalo team, and they had Dominic Hasek, who was all world, and was hurt. And I remember game one, walking into the back room and thinking, who's Dwayne Wollison? Like, let's look him up.
No. Steve Shields.
Go down the list. Shields. Right? I had to look him up. I'm like, okay, well, clearly this is in the bank. We didn't realize that as we made our way down the QEW to the massacre in Buffalo that we had every year, we had a hard time beating them. We lost. And then we played New Jersey. And my gosh, we're up 3-2. New Jersey's asleep. It's over. You know, call a fat lady. She's going to sing. And Niedermeyer ends up on his back. And we woke up Scott Stevens in a huge way. And we lost that series. And I think we had 7 shots on net in one of the games. And Pat Quinn insisted the NHL go and look at the tape because he was sure there was 8 or 9. Who cares? We lost. Like, so right. Again, boss, that's Carolina. You know, we're up 1-0 in their building. We had a couple days off between games 1 and 2 in the bank, up 2 in their building, a minute away from going on 2-0 to go to the finals. And we found a way to lose that game, and Carolina went on to play Edmonton, the juggernaut Edmonton. I think that was, at that point, on their 4th goalie. So what would it, again, we would have won that series. Would have, should have, could have. Yes, you are absolutely right, John. So the big decisions to be made.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, any player that is making $12 or $13 million and isn't playing like a player worth 20, you're not trading for. I don't want a guy making 13 and he's playing like he's worth 7. I want the $13 million guy who's, and that's your dilemma. And who has the money to pay for it? And there's a whole bunch of economics that go into it. But the carnage has already happened with the leader, the top guy, you know, your captain, Brendan Shanahan. It's sad because he has built some good culture here. The club is legit. They're feared throughout the league, except for when they lost that momentum against Florida. But there'll be other changes made. Some will be warranted. Some will be unfair. I think the Matt Sundin one, you make your point. At some point, you got to make a change. That was the dumbest thing this organization's done. Dumbest. Matt should have stayed a Leaf, retired a Leaf, played a Leaf. That was a mistake by this organization. He was not the problem. If that's the problem, what's the question? That was not the problem. That was a mistake by them, and it was a knee-jerk reaction. Like everything we do sometimes, we overcorrect. They overcorrected, mm-hmm. and it took a number of years before this club was back on track. And, you know, Curtis Joseph and Eddie Belfour, we've been waiting for a goalie since those guys played. Again, you overcorrected. You know, Cujo went to Calgary, went to Detroit. Should he have gone there? I mean, revisionist history, but should have stayed a Leaf, should have remained a Leaf. He should be in the Hall of Fame. And that should have stayed the same way. Were there other pieces on the chessboard that I would have lost first? We all play chess. You can take a pawn or two from me, no problem. But I'm not losing the queen or the rook or the bishop.
Yeah. By the way, they did have a goalie. They did have a goalie in this organization.
Don't talk about me, please. Don't talk about me.
Don't worry. I wasn't. But
no,
Tuukka Rask,
please.
Tuukka Rask was a Maple Leaf.
Yeah. Yeah. How did that work? I still remember being in Montreal working for the Players Association, and I had no role there in the draft other than to walk around and pretend I was a big shot with my credential. I could walk
anywhere. You
looked
good. Right? You looked really good.
I looked so good. Yeah. I'm not really sure if I remembered much of the draft, but it was in Montreal. It was a lot of fun. And I remember being on the draft floor, and they traded Tuukka Rask, and the gasp that happened. People were like, what? He was available? What? Because, you know, I think Tuukka at the time was – and we played for, like, you know, one of the top teams in Finland. And he was, like, 9 years old. Like, like a man. No, I'm exaggerating, but he was legit. But you go back again. You had your Justin Pogge was the guy, you know, World Juniors, you know, double D on, blah, blah, blah. TSN's great little, you know, flagship that they want to hang their hat on that we all had to watch because there was nothing else to watch but Christmas Vacation. Now, it's become an entity, and it's become a real brand, but that led to a trade that they probably would regret that they ever made, and Tuukka, he's sitting with some Stanley Cup rings. It don't matter to him.
No. You brought up the Matt situation. Some people have suggested Austin Matthews should be in play, or at least look at it.
Hey, I'm one of those guys. I am one of those guys. I admit it.
Well, you could trade Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
You could mm-hmm. trade Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I don't know the ramifications.
Yeah, but those were for financial reasons.
No question. But there was a move made, right? And Oilers went on without Gretz to win another cup. Mark left New York, or left the Oilers,
Edmonton,
came on yep. to New York, did something 54 years and three generations of hockey fan never saw.
And haven't done since.
You go down a list. I mean, it's not the days of taking Ted Lindsay and when he started the Players Association and trading him to Chicago because they stunk and they put him into purgatory. That's not the case anymore. So your job is to improve the team in every way and listen to every single suitor for your best players, then you're certainly going to get some of your best return for your best players. Now,
whoa,
Austin
hold
is
on, hold on, wait, wait, hold on, hold on. So repeat that. Repeat that. You are certainly going to get a lot in return, because that to me is the key point in all this, is that they now are at a point where we talked earlier about leadership. Do we see enough leadership? I don't think we see enough leadership. And Austin Matthews is a good player. He's an asset. And go get things for him to help this organization. And you can balance the books by, you can get three good players for Austin Matthews. You can.
Well, you know, yeah, I do though remember, John, when I was sitting in Ottawa, we were doing a playoff game, and it was the draft. Coming up, they had the lottery for the draft, and the Leafs had a 14% chance of getting the first overall pick. And the club wasn't very good. They hadn't made the playoffs, had made the playoffs a number of years. And next thing you know, they get this phenom, a generational player. And I don't know if he's got a lot of family members or not, but does everybody in the building have to wear number 34 on their sweater? Like every single sweater in this building has got his name on the back of it. And job's not finished. Was he hurt in the playoffs? I don't know. Did the Four Nations take something out of him? You know, he certainly missed a bunch of time. You know, he went overseas. I don't think he went over to go on vacation. He was getting some alternative medicine that was that needed for you to leave and go to Europe for. We'll never know any of those things. But I'm not making that as an excuse, because we talked about Tkachuk playing with one leg. So everybody is playing banged up, hurt, bruised. I think, look, it's important for the organization. And they're you know, Tree's a good guy. You know, he was with an organization that, you know, now they probably have 14 goalie coaches. He had 14 people on staff in Phoenix total. So he's got the riches here. He knows how to run an organization from the sleekest of times with the least amount of dollars to a club that gives him the most amount. He's going to listen to it all. He's going to pay attention to what he can get back. And there's no doubt he's heard offers, and there are probably 31 teams that would love an Austin Matthews. And I can't think of another team that wouldn't make a call to say, hey, sorry about your finish. It's time to improve my team down. So why don't I take the biggest piece on the chess board off of it and put it in my roster? I'd be very careful, as if you're trading that piece, you're all in or all out. And it may take a long time.
How many years of frustration? How many years of frustration how many years of excuses do you have about, you know, passengers? I mean, this is now how many years?
Yep.
Before you, and again, I think you were the one who taught me, because you had that degree from Western Michigan. What's the definition of insanity?
Going to Western Michigan. hey, did I tell you they won an NCAA? I just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyways, yeah, as soon as you're going to be,
let's go, Broncos.
I will say this, though. It is we all know this. It is a hard trophy to win. Sure. And even when we played New York and won in 94, and we were the number one team from the start of training camp in London, England, when we blew the doors off Toronto Maple Leafs, they were a good team. And then we went all the way through the season, and most games we were done 27 minutes into the game. Start the jet, we're done. You know, we were smoking cigarettes on the bench. Oh, it's over tonight. I'm kidding, please. We weren't doing that, but we had a darn good team. And it took us right to the wire to beat New Jersey. And in fact, we should probably have won game six, if not for "We Will Win It" by Mark Messier, one of the greatest leadership calls of all time, or could have been one of the biggest bluffs and failures of all time. But he said it, he did it, he had a hat trick in game six. We won game seven. Was it easy? Ask Della Pukin, who scored with 7 seconds left, and Glenn was on the bench puking. He was doing his own Della Pukin, because, like, wow, I can't believe it. Now we got to go to overtime. Brodeur's coming out party. Two overtimes. Like, we couldn't put anything past him. He looked like a young Millard. And then we end up winning that game, go to Vancouver. Clearly, we're the better team. It took us to game seven to win that. It is a hard trophy to win. Everything has to come into play. And for people that will say, hey, one or two trades and we got this, you're wrong. And particularly now with the economics, because the days of having the Chicago Blackhawks be the red-headed beaten stepson, and that's probably inappropriate to say, those days are over.
You know, by the way, I'm not advocating
make playoffs.
I'm not advocating trade Matthews and, you know, you're going to win the cup. I'm saying trade Matthews, do a reset, take a couple of steps back to win in the long term.
But you're going to lose Marner and Tavares?
What's that?
You could lose Marner and Tavares and then trade Matthews. That's a big change.
Really, really. And what have they won? Tell me what they've won.
Well, you don't.
Haven't won a darn thing.
No, we won the French.
The concept of winning the Stanley Cup. The concept of winning the Stanley Cup is the goal, not to win the President's Trophy. Stanley
Cup. They failed on that one too. They didn't win that
I'm
one
just
either.
Saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying. They didn't even win the French's Mustard Cup, John.
I know. But they had to. And they went. They went to the flea market next door to buy the trophy because they forgot it. I'm just saying, you have banged your head against the wall for 6 years now. Enough is enough. take a step back. Tell the corporation that's going to buy you, we're taking a step back and we're going to rebuild and we're going to reset. There are still some great parts on this club, but we're going to bring new parts in to win in the long term. Because the long term has not, the long term has not been a factor, has not been a key part of this for the last 6 or 7 years. It's time for change.
One sec, John. Hey, can you get John Shannon's sweater back that he threw on the ice in Game 7? Yeah, it's downstairs. Thank you. We got our staff getting your sweater from Game 7. Darren, I didn't know it was his sweater, but oh, I got him.
It's got his name written inside.
JS. He got it in kindergarten. Keon on the back, number 14.
Yeah.
Elegant. Hey, there's no question. If you go up four floors from here to MLS's boardroom, to what they're talking about, there's no doubt that those are discussions are having. Like, there's no doubt. Could we, to Darren's point, it's like, are we pushing that button? Like, are we going to lose? That is the crux of every team that completely makes a pivot and goes in a whole new direction, and then you hold your breath until you get to next April 18th. And, you know, so many factors go into it. You know, I can still recall with Paul Maurice, we went to Finland for the Borja Salming Award. It was Jari Kurri last year. Next year, it will be Matt Sundin, Borja Salming Award winner for courage and being a pioneer. We went to Finland. We were going to present the award to Jari, and Maurice walks in with his coaching staff, couldn't wait to meet Jari Kurri. That was this season. I think it's so long ago, I swear, it was 5 years ago, that what they've been through and the Four Nations Cup, and then, oh my gosh, what they're going to go through next year with an Olympics in Italy. Finally, they get to the Olympics. It's been how many decades or a decade since they've been there with a real legitimate team. Like, the journey is long in the tooth, and they aren't going to be measured, John, you're right, until April of next year on. And sure, there's so much that goes into this equation. But like Darren, I would be reluctant to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm. I would look at this club and, you know, if it takes a long time to get to where they got to get to, we're going to have to be patient. There's no doubt. And I'm not patient because I came to Toronto thinking I was going to make the difference. Wow. I can collect my U.S. Social Security now and my Canadian pension. So that's been how long ago it's been for me. It's been a long time. It's a hard trophy to win.
Was that breaking news with the Matt Sundin?
I guess it is. There we go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's why you brought me on. To the end. And then
Glenn's a committee of one.
Give you that. Yeah.
Glenn's a committee of one, so he decides.
No. We have 1,300 European players that are leading the ship over there. They're telling me who that pioneer is, who the guy who's made a difference. Nick Lidstrom won the first award, the Borja Salming Award. Again, being a pioneer, trailblazing, going where no one's gone before. Jari Kurri last year, I mean, every Finnish award, first Finnish player to 50, first Finnish player to 100, first Finnish player in the hall, like you go down the list. And then Mats is clearly the most deserved award winner as well for what he's done when he came over. And he's got every single award in Toronto. Every stat is his. He's number one in everything, except when they picked the damn team to find out who the greatest Maple Leaf was. He was like number five. Who picked that award? Who rated those players? And John, I know one of them's on this call, and it's not one of the goalies.
John.
Yes, I was on the call. I was on the call.
Number five.
I was on that call, yeah.
Number five. What, did you have a bad day?
I'm not sure he was number five.
Number one in goals, number one in points, number one in playoffs, number one. Well, you're right, number five.
How many Stanley Cups did he win?
You cut out there for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. How many Stanley Cups? Last I checked, this is about winning the Stanley Cup.
That's right. Same as you and Millard, none.
Yeah. No.
Well, we're tied with Matt. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to say that I do have a ring. All right. I didn't do anything with
it. Oh, hey, seriously. Seriously. You're going to go there?
Hey, I thought you and I were doing good in our tight little suits at Sportsnet when we had to lay down on the ground and pull them up and you could hardly move. And, you know, every time I went to the board, I was afraid I was going to rip my jacket because Deb Wurman had me dressed up like a scuba diver.
It wasn't your jacket that was going to tear.
What do you think? What would Matt say to Austin Matthews?
Well, first thing I would do is get Matt on board here and hire him and to work with the team. There's the first thing I do. Again, he's number one in every category except for Johns, where he's number five. I would bring him in and look at players, they kind of get it. And Matt's has got a lot of knowledge. He knows the game, he knows the players. He's a guy who should be. He should never have left here. That's someone else's call. Should be here. Should be running the show. And I'm not running the show, but part of that group to make a difference. And if Brendan's not your guy, and he's not as of this morning, and I think he's done some great things, why wouldn't Mark Messier be a guy you bring on board? Like, I don't understand what you would be a, you know, he hasn't done it before. Wow. Wasn't there a coach by the name of Phil that went to a couple different teams and hadn't done it before, and all of a sudden he won championships with people like Michael and go down the list, you know? So I would say, look, build it up. You've got nothing but money. We know that. We pay the bills. We go to games. We bought a hot dog and a beer. Thank you, Ken Dryden, for having the best hot dogs in the building. They are the most expensive. If you remember when Ken took over, good hot dog makes for a better game. I agree. But you know, build that team with. If you're not going to go down Shanny's way, then there is another route you can go down, and Matt would be part of that equation for me in a huge way.
What's happening with the alumni? You got a fancy new office from when I was last around.
It's a fake screen behind me. I'm in my basement. I just push a button. And would you like to see me in Bermuda? I can push that button over here. No. Yes, we have moved. We are at the Scotiabank Arena, formerly known as the Air Canada Center, but new digs and, new future. Still looking for a wellness plan that will improve the lot and life of players, making tomorrow better than today. But I can tell you from the league, the PA standpoint, everything that we're doing, together. The music has finally stopped, and all three of us are in chairs. And we're working together to make this game better. And the guys that built it, there's no better group that have paved the way to make a difference for the current guys to play. There's no better group that has, you know, made it so that ownership of teams where clubs, you know, were sold for an interchange are now being sold for $1 billion.
Yeah.
You kind of guess which team that is. But if you go down the list, the players that paved the way for the current guys to drive on these roads, we're part of the fabric of the game. And we're not going anywhere, and the league knows it, PA knows it, and we are all working together. It's a magical time to be sitting in this chair in some new gigs.
Are you caught up, or is there still some boxes to check?
Well, there's lots of boxes to check. There's 5,000 players. On any given day, your phone will ring with questions, hope, and help that needs to be provided, and we provide it. We've got an incredible medical team. A massive medical team now. And when the phone rings, I never have to say I'm sorry. I have an answer. I have a place for players to go, for their wives to go. We're one of the only sports organizations where wives are included. I think they're most important. They're the CEO of every household. The three people on this call, we understand that really well. Mm-hmm. I know all your wives. Well, wives, meaning not multiple, but wives.
Thank you.
I know what goes on. And we've got to make sure that, they're in a good spot. They transition to when the players leave the game. And then the other element is kids. You know, it's a hard time to be, an adolescent in this world sometimes. Hard to get a job. Hard to deal with a lot of this. You know, how many likes do I have when I post a picture? And what does my world look like then? And so, again, we've got to be there for them. If something's not right with your kids, it's never right in your home. So we've got to help that hockey family as well. And we do it in spades, and we won't stop. And when I turn the lights off after I leave, the next guy in, I am player number 2,144 that's ever played in the National Hockey League. 2,144. My role is to make sure that player 2,143 and player 1,000, that what they did for me, I make sure I don't forget. What Ted Lindsay did, I don't forget. And player number 2,145 and player number 3,000, which may be Austin Matthews, don't negate the hard work that we put in. Don't go from 5 social workers to 3. You go from 5 to 7. Don't let me down. So player number 2,144, don't let me down. And I won't let player number 1 down and player number 1,000 down. I'll make sure what they've done for me to create a 595-page CBA, it's there not because, it's a great book to read. It's boring as shit. It's there because we fought the fights. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and the thing is that there are 32 teams, might grow. There are 750 players, might grow, but you're growing every year. You have a membership that grows every year, and that's the fascination of what the challenges you have versus the challenges of actually being in the NHL, whether it be on the players or the ownership side.
Yeah, but the great thing, though, Johnny, is you come to my team, you get a better team. Just think about playing on a line with Belbo, Shard, Gretzky. We'll put Mess on the second line. Probably Howe might be a second line winger. We got Coffey on defense. Oh gosh! Like,
by the way,
that's your new team. So we have no problems putting you with a group
You do know that when Wayne listens to the podcast, he'll be phoning you and saying, "You better put Howe on the first line."
So this is my last podcast. I'm officially fired.
I want to know where John. Sorry. Where's John putting Mats on that depth chart?
Don't even get me started.
Anyways, couple of things. Player number 2,144. That's me. So that's the culture we're building, and that's the culture we'll have moving forward.
I doodle and take notes during it. Just a habit of mine. Western Michigan. We brought them up. Go Broncos! Right? 2025.
Did they win?
Another national championship.
Now,
what do you mean another? The first one. It's the first.
Let's be clear. you know what? I will say this. And Pat Feifweiler is a great coach. Sent a note to him and to the team before the game. And basically the message was this. There's so many people that played with that group beforehand. We didn't win. We did our best. We talked about it ad nauseum here about the Leafs. We didn't win, but the name on the crest matters so much to us and to that team that played and fought and beat Paul Fenton's Boston team. By the way, if I don't go to the Hall of Fame, it's because I bet $20 on Western Michigan to win. So I did bet on hockey, just so you're aware.
You're allowed to now, You are allowed to now.
Yeah, I know. So, but the message was this. We're proud of you. Leave it all on the ice. And we've got a great picture here in the office, which is Punch Him Black with his feet up on the desk. You've all seen it. Stanley Cup, and the message is no practice tomorrow.
Right.
Right? They've achieved their goal. And likewise with that Western Michigan team, my message to them was leave it on the pitch, no practice tomorrow. And they did that. They made us all proud. And so I'm expecting a bunch of phone calls to have me donate to the program once again. So I've changed my number again, my last podcast. You don't have my number anymore. To them, a wonderful team, great effort, and incredible hockey. Like the one thing, no disrespect to when I played Western, but like the level of play from these college players is exceptional. And that only shows why we have the level of play we have in the NHL today.
I did get the pop-up video reference to Double D on. It wasn't to Dion Phaneuf, but I understood that as well. And Shane Knighty appreciates the number 34 in every ring as a former number 34.
So there we go.
There you go.
Yes. So does Lyndon Byers. But
I'll go with Knights.
It is time to go.
It's never time to leave.
We're done. We're done.
I told you to get rid of me right from the first question. He said, that's it. No, you wanted to keep putting it in the ditch. Congratulations.
I'm not sure who put it in the ditch, mister.
Who are you getting on next? Elon Musk?
Well, you know what?
The Iraqi foreign information minister. Who's next? Who's
my next? Cyber trucks.
We got to go.
My cyber trucks being delivered.
We're going. We're going now.
Love you, Heels.
Love you guys.
See
keep
you, buddy.
Being you. Okay, cheers.
Do you like my pop-up video analogy?
Yeah, I guess. I like pop-up videos.
Yeah, really? Well,
but you're of that generation, you see?
Yeah. I wish they'd bring those back.
Yeah.
I want pop-up video hockey and in the classic games. I think that would be cool.
Be a good idea. But that takes time and money. Nobody wants to spend that in broadcasting anymore.
They don't have time or the money?
Yes.
All right.
Both.
Heels say anything that really popped to you? There's a lot in there.
Well, there was a lot in there. I think his cautionary tale about my desire to, you know, consider trading Austin Matthews. But I'm adamant about this one. So he, the fact that he backed off a bit and suggested that, you know, watch out what we're doing is something you have to listen to. But I just think they have to make, in Toronto, for Maple Leaf fans, they have to make a reset. There has to be a reset. Now, they have to get buy-in from the corporation to do it. But I think Brad Treliving has to do something drastic. And that includes losing a couple of guys to free agency. And perhaps rebuilding parts of this organization to have a more not be so top heavy. That's my gut.
Just I have trouble going that far backwards, thinking that they'll go far in reverse.
I'm not going that far back.
I mean, you're talking about losing three of the four core four guys.
Well, what have they won? They haven't won a bloody thing. Mm-hmm. They haven't won a darn thing. How many times do you have to go to the wall to say, can you win a game? Can you win a series? They haven't won with this group. When do we stop thinking about April like Groundhog Day? Well, you know what? We're getting better. You know, stop it.
It's only 1 year under Craig Berube, too, and I thought they made great strides. So I would give him another year with this.
Great.
You don't think they were better? They were different?
In the regular season, they were fine.
Yeah.
But this is not about the regular season. Regular season is an 82-game exhibition schedule in Toronto.
What happened to your voice there like 30 seconds ago?
Did I get crabby?
No, you got a high.
Well, because you got me excited.
I hadn't thought of Messier.
And here's the deal. I'm not even a Leaf fan. I'm not. I worked in the organization. I understand the people in the organization. But I'll tell you what, enough is enough. Because if I'm in, 50 Bay Street at Scotiabank Arena, my goal is to win the Stanley Cup, not be happy to get to the second round. The Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of Messier or Sundin coming back. That was an interesting take.
Yeah, right. It is. I think the Mats comparison, because Glenn and I've had that discussion over a couple of pops once in a while about how great Mats was as a Maple Leaf. I agree, he was great. But what did he win here? What did he win? And the answer is, he didn't win anything.
When was the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs handed out championship rings?
1967.
Nope.
Okay, when?
Remember the year that they gave out Norris division rings?
No, I don't.
It was in the 80s.
I don't remember that.
Bill Berg told me that story. Norris division championship rings.
I was in Western Canada managing the Stanley Cup finals in Calgary and Edmonton. So
I'll get the details on that story. I'll tell it to you next week.
Okay.
All right. Norris Trophy rings.
By the way, congratulations to Bill Zito, to Kevin Cheveldayoff, and Jim Nill, who have been nominated as the finalists for the General Manager of the Year.
Yeah, Jim Gregory Award, which Jim Nill basically owns.
Last 2 years.
Yeah. Good stuff. Have a great weekend, pal.
Yeah, don't tell me what to do.
But I'm supporting you, man. Like, go out there and own it this weekend. All right? You can do this, man. You can do this.
Own it.
Enjoy the hockey and own the weekend. And remember, don't get too close to the drive-thru window because it makes it awkward when you're trying to hand over things and it gets a little cramped. Okay.
What are you talking about? Goodbye. Are you talking about? Oh, now you're leaving.